100 years to see your face, I would wait 100 more, if only to be near you, have you and to hear you. Isn't that what time is for? I sailed 1,000 ships in search of you, travel to distant lands. I dove for sunken gold, I took what I could hold, you're still the greatest treasure I've held in my hands. My love, the reason I survive, trust we'll be together soon.
That was Queens giving us the hottest cold open in all the land. Going to the Chiefs for being here. I want to thank Marion Call, Taylor Dallas Vidic, Kate Ross, Wendy Birds, Elizabeth Eakins, Skiba Wadi, Allison Wade, Andrea Budbill, and Margot Lundberg, the Queens. They will be opening the main stage tonight at 6:30 p.m. for the 2026 Alaska Folk Festival. Thank you so much, Queens. Gonna the cheese. Welcome to a special Juno afternoon downstairs here in Studio 1A at KTOO with a live audience. I'm Boston Christopher. What a way to wrap up a week of live music during Folk Fest than a dance party with the 2026 Alaska Folk Fest guest dance band, the Red Hots. We will jam some tunes with the band and welcome guest dance caller Connor McGuire for a square dance lesson and call. You're tuned in to community-supported public radio, KTOO on 104.3 and KAUK 91.7. We could not do this without your support. Thank you for all the things that you give to KTOO. And you can also join us on our live stream today on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook page. Today brought together by all of our fantastic production team. I can't thank you so much. This is Juno Afternoon. We'll be right back.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017.
And now, live from the red carpet stage in Studio 1A from KTOO, the Red Hots! They ain't called the Red Hots for nothing, right? Awesome. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO, and we're in the downstairs studio here today with a live audience. Thank you all so much for being here. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The Red Hots are the 2026 guest dance band for the 51st Alaska Folk Festival. They'll be headlining the dances tonight and Saturday night at the Juno Arts and Culture Center right across the street here from KTOO. They'll also be leading some workshops this weekend. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And today joining us also is the guest dance caller for the dances this evening, Connor McGuire. Come on up, Connor. Awesome. Welcome in, Connor. Thank you so much. So how long have you been calling dances?
Oh, I'd say about 6 or 7 years, actually, at this point.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. What do you love about calling dances?
Well, the festivity, the community vibes, and then the kind of tradition bearing. I found square dancing kind of through agriculture. I was a farmer, vegetable farmer for many years. And at the end of the season, many local farms just have a harvest celebration, and many of the calls lend themselves to agricultural references or animal husbandry. And so, yeah, I'm a big proponent of agrarian culture. So.
What's the hardest thing about learning to square dance?
Oh, relaxing your cheeks because you're smiling so much.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So what I'm hoping we can do now is we can get some volunteers from the audience.
Absolutely.
And you can give us a little bit. And for those at home, if you're listening on the radio today, you can stand up and do some of these. Connor's going to teach us a couple moves, and then he's going to call a song over the top of something that the Red Hots plays. So do we have, I think I might have four couples. Can I get four couples? I know I had one in the back there. Who else? This couple up front was
going to... Any even number of couples.
Any even number.
So find a partner and find one other couple and stand in a ring of four people.
Yeah. So I think we have, oh, there we go. I think we're good. Yeah. Come on in.
Yeah.
Right in here in this area here.
Two couple squares. So find a partner and then a couple up with another partner and a ring of four people. Ring of four people. So go ahead and join hands in a ring of four. Find a partner.
And if you're at home, grab your partner and make them get up and do this. That's what
Just
I say.
Just two couple squares.
Oh, there
Let's
we
do
go.
It.
Okay, two couple squares.
It's true. We can fit a handful of more people. We got plenty of dance floor. Last call to any potential dancers among the citizenry. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and start this dance. My friends, if you don't know your square mates, go ahead and introduce yourselves, as this is a part of a festive community.
Excellent.
Thank you so much. And quick negotiation between you and the couple across from you. Who's going to be couple number one, and who's going to be couple number two? Fantastic. All right. In this move, it's called Sow the Wheat and Mow the Clover, lending itself from the agrarian tradition. Let's go. Okay, couple number one, where are you at? Make yourself known. Drop hands from the partner across from you. Keep both couples hold hands with your partner. Drop hands with the couple across from you. All right, there we go. Couple number two, what I want you to do is make yourself really, really small. Make yourselves really, really small and tiny. Couple number one, raise your partner's hand. What you're going to do is you're going to walk this arch over couple number two. Couple number one and two, make yourself really small. And as soon as couple number one is on the other side of couple number two, couple number one, make yourself really small. And couple number two, make yourself really, really big. Make an arch, couple number two. And you're going to back up over couple number one.
Whoa. True, I see.
That's called Sow the Wheat and Mow the Clover. Let's do it at speed. Couple number one, sow the wheat and mow the clover. And do it again, and you do it all over.
Nice.
Do it again and do it all over. Let's go. And the way I taught it, both couples were kind of static. We can make it dynamic. Both couples can be moving. Both couples can be grooving. Let's go. All right. Circle to the left in your little square. And back to the right. Into the middle with a hoot and a holler. Excellent. Couple number, so everyone put their right hands in for a right hand star. You can kind of grab the wrist of the person whose toes you're pointing towards. There we go. And then spin that star around, right hand star. And a left hand star from back from where you are. There you go. And circle to the left in one big ring. And couple number two, it's your turn. Couple number two, sow the wheat and mow the clover. You start with the arch. Couple number one, make yourself real small. And then back up. There you go. And couple number two, do it again and sow the wheat and mow the clover. Do it again and do it all over. Swing your partner when you come around with one foot up and the other down. There you go. Swing someone else in your square. Swing someone else in your square. And back to your partner if you dare. Otherwise, I think we're ready to start this dance, my friends.
All right. Before we start, Connor, I have one question for you before we begin. Let you guys get it in your minds a little bit. Just tell me a little bit about the history of square dancing.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess in the British Isles tradition, we all have the archetype of like Pride and Prejudice characters with their big poofy dresses doing like 1, 2, 3, back 2, 3, kind of like the popular dance forms of the time in like Regency England and such. It turns out that those dances were usually taught by dancing schools. It was the role of the community to send their youngest, most eligible, you know, bachelors and maidens into that school to learn the most popular dances. And that people need to dance. Like folk cultures need to dance. It's like integral. And so when settlers got to this country, there was no really high society, no infrastructure for dancing schools, and they're just like, we still need to dance, so why don't you just get up there and tell us what to do, like willing, like right now? And they're like, okay, yeah, because we need to dance. So
I see. Yeah. Okay, that's yeah. really cool. Yeah. And when did that tradition start? How long ago?
I mean, as early the earliest written tradition of dance calling specifically in this country goes back to I think the 1690s.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. All right. Well, shall we give it a whirl? Excellent.
Yeah.
So the Red Hots are going to play, and Connor's going to do a call over the top of that song. Here we go on Juno Afternoon.
Take it away. All right, here we go. Circle to the left. And back to the right. Go into the middle and you come back out. And one more time with a great big shout. Swing your partner, go high and low. And swing another and you don't be slow. Swing that last one, don't you know. Back to your partner, give him a swing. Circle to the left, go around that ring. And couple number one, sow the wheat and then mow the clover. And you do it again and you do it all over. Circle left when you come round. Back to the right. Right hands in for a right hand star. And a left hand back from where you are. Swing your partner, go high and low. Circle to the left with a heel and a toe. And couple number two, sow the wheat and mow the clover. And you do it again and you do it all over. Circle to the left when you come round. Into the middle and you come back out. One more time with a great big shout. One more time with a gentle whisper. And swing your partner, go high and low. And find another couple on the go and circle to the left with a heel and a toe. Circle up four in the middle of the floor like you did before. And back to the right, don't take all night. And it's into the middle and you come back out. One more time with a great big shout. Swing your partner, they'll swing you. Swing someone else, they'll swing you. Swing that last one. And back to your partner, swing one last time. Circle to the left, you're feeling fine. Who's couple one, who's couple two? It's not up to me, it's up to you. Who go ahead and decide? Couple number one, you sow the wheat and you mow the clover. And you do it again and you do it all over. Circle to the left when you come round. Go around the town and you're back to the right. Don't take all night. Into the middle and you come back out. One more time with a great big shout. Right hand's in for a right hand star. Left hand back from where you are. And it's couple number two. Sow the wheat and you mow the clover. And you do it again and you do it all over. Circle to the left when you come round. One foot up and the other down. Go any old way but upside down. Swing your partner high and low. And with your partner promenade to the top of the hall. And clap your hands and stomp your feet for the wonderful band. Swing your partner, they'll swing you. Thank you, man, that's it. that's all my friends. Thank the Red Hots, my friends.
Awesome.
I saw some great dancing out there.
That's the Red Hots with guest dance caller Connor McGuire. Thank you so much. Good to see
you,
Connor. So you're going to be calling the dances tonight at the Jack.
It's true.
Across all the bands that are going to be playing tonight, or just with the Red Hots?
With the Red Hots and then another group of local musicians, actually. I think Pine Creek Ramblers, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Starring, you know, a couple of local musicians of Juno's own old-time all-stars. There we go.
Awesome. And the Red Hots are on tonight at 9 o'clock over there at the Jack, and Connor will be there doing that. You're also going to be doing some workshops, Connor.
Yeah, it's true.
Can you tell me a little bit about the workshops that you're going to be doing this weekend?
Sure. Tomorrow at the Jack, I'll be doing a intro to square dance calling workshop. I think everybody should be a square dance caller in humanity, just in the same way that everyone needs a 5-minute emergency stand-up comedy set. you know, for technical difficulties or whatever. But I also became a caller willy-nilly in that I was fiddling for a dance. Caller didn't show up, and a bunch of anxious onlookers, dancers wanted to dance, and I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. And
yeah.
So kind of rising to the occasion, ex-theater kid, had no trouble with public speaking. So I think it's an important skill set, and happy to share at least some of the knowledge and experience I've accrued to share that skill. And then I'll be doing another dance, another workshop later in the afternoon on how to play for square dances. That'll be a bit more technical, play some instruments, play a stringed instrument, how to work with a band, how to work with a caller, how to, bring the groovy vibes to the community.
That's so cool. And just to mention, for those of you who might be from out of town, the workshops don't cost you nothing.
Yeah.
It's all part of the Alaska Folk Festival. Of course, the Folk Fest is free as well. And you can always go to akfolkfest.org and you see the full schedule of all the workshops. We're going to talk to the band a little bit about the workshops they're going to be doing too. And you can also go to kto.org, and on the homepage of kto.org, there's a nightlife guide for everything that's happening not on the main stage. And so all the bars in town, a lot of the groups play multiple venues throughout the week. It's just a fantastic week of music here in Juneau. And we get the bonus of a dance caller making that happen. I really appreciate it, Connor. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Boston. Appreciate you. Thank you, Juneau.
Gonna cheese.
Thank you to the Red Hots.
Yeah, and thank you to the Red Hots, of course. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back for more live music with the Red Hots. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juneau at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza, and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO with a live studio down in Studio 1A. The Red Hots are here, and let's go ahead and introduce the band, shall we? Right over here, we have on guitar and banjo, we have Riley Bogus.
Hello.
Up in the back on the bass, we got Steve Mason. Over there on the banjo, Tom Riccio. And here in the center, we got Joe Thrift on the fiddle. So, Joe, I wanted to ask you real quick about the formation of the Red Hots. How did this band start? It was like 40-some-odd years ago.
43 years ago.
43 yeah. years ago. How did it yeah. begin? What was the impetus?
It started out me and this guy, Rich Hartness, who's a blind fiddler. He and I started the band, and we came up with the name. And after just a little bit, he ended up going back to school, moving out of town, and I'd been used to twin fiddling all the time, and all of a sudden I was the fiddler, and it was freaking me out.
You've got a little practice since then.
And so, yeah, but we got Riley, and at the time I was 35, 36, and Riley was 16, I believe.
What?
And I would go get him out of school to play gigs and stuff.
Yeah, I was a senior in high school, and these two guys would come into my high school and put their head in the door. Can Riley come out and play?
And we would meet his teacher and like talk.
And literally play.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But and then Tom, you know, just he weaseled in somehow into the band. I have no idea how it happened, but anyway.
But that's what created the Red Hots.
That's right.
What was it? Yeah. What were you guys called? The Chicken Chasers? Or what?
We were the... No,
give you this so you can speak on that.
Wild Goose Chasers. Yeah, before
Wild Goose Chasers for a little bit.
With Brian DeMarcus.
And Brian DeMarcus was in that, and he was he usually is here.
Yeah.
He's a dancer, and I used to dance with the Greengrass Cloggers with him, and so did Steve.
Oh, wow.
That's
so great. Well, it's been going on for 40. You guys tour all around all the time, it seems like. You're always busy. I think it's just it's a fantastic form. We're going to talk a little bit about old-time music here, but let's hear one more song, and sure. then we'll talk a little bit about this music.
All right.
All right, this is the Red Hots here on Juno Afternoon. This is Juno Afternoon. We're sitting here with the Red Hots. I want to chat a little bit. I love the background, right? These folks have been doing this music for a long time. Obviously, the band was started 43 years ago. But I'm also curious about, how do they begin? I'm going to start with you, Tom, if you don't mind. So can you tell me, when the banjo came into your life, or when did old-time music come into your life?
Well, I used to live in up in Connecticut, New Haven, and when I would ever hear music, and it was fiddle music, that excited me so much that I think it was 1973, me and my girlfriend hitchhiked down to the Big Fiddlers Convention down in Union Grove, and that was my first taste of really seeing old people just get wild and play this music, and I was totally psyched by it. So I ended up in North Carolina. I've been a land surveyor down there for 50 years and play the music You know, I'm so lucky to play with these fellas. They're really
you
good.
Are.
And I'm even luckier that they come to my house.
Right, yeah, they come to yours. Yeah. Were your parents musically inclined? They expose you to stuff?
No, my dad was, he would play piano from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, just as muse, you know, to keep himself happy. And my mother, she was from Nova Scotia, so she had little Cajun blood in her. So, but anyways, here I am, and I'm happy to be here.
And what were some of the influences once you sort of got into it and you sort of figured out this might be something for you?
Interestingly enough, for 2 years, I printed T-shirts with an outfit. It was called T-Shirt City. And we would do all the big bluegrass festivals all up and down the East Coast. And I would see the same bands every weekend, the Stanley Brothers and the Osborne Brothers and these brothers and those brothers, and that was all good. But every now and then, you get a band like Hickory Wind or something that was playing old time music, and it was totally different to me. I mean, it was, you know, nobody was dressed fancy, and nobody was taking breaks. They were just burning it from the word go, and that's the sort of the ethic I have. So,
yeah.
So the Red Hots, we don't really play much but breakdowns. We're pretty crappy on waltzes, and we certainly don't do much pretty singing. Riley does, and that's a tremendous advantage. Yeah, but he can say it all. But you know, there's the big festival for old time music in the country is called Clifftop. It happens in Virginia, and I'm sure many people in the room have been there on more than one occasion. But I'm lucky enough to say that I was the first person ever to be approached to play a Clifftop with our band, the Red Hots.
Oh wow!
Will Carter did it, and he was an attorney up in West Virginia. And he got grant money from, you know, the state to put on this festival. It got named with the nickname Clifftop, and that's what everybody knows it by.
Oh, that's
rather
awesome.
Than the West Virginia Music Heritage Foundation or whatever it is. But
yeah, Clifftop. But,
yeah. But he came down. We have a big New Year's party that goes on every year. They call it Bobville, and Will came down for the whole sole purpose of coming to book the Red Hots because he was starting this festival. So he got me in Steve's bedroom there and he started talking to me. He says, would you guys mind coming? He said, I'm starting this new festival. He said, would you guys mind coming and playing it? I said, well, who else you got lined up? He said, well, nobody yet. And I said, well, that's great. We'll be there. So he got out of the bedroom and he went right into the kitchen. He started telling everybody in the kitchen to come to Clifftop because the Red Hots were booked.
That's awesome.
He went right to work with that. But
that's great. And tell me just a little bit about this instrument you're playing here. This thing looks like it's been part of you for a long time.
It really has. And I got this banjo, I think, back in 1976. It was made by Carl Creed, who's one back in the day the premier old-time banjo makers and players. And so I was very happy to come on to this. But Carl said that he got this old pot. He didn't make this pot. He got it from, he told me, an old fella, but Ernest East was a famous fiddler back in Mount Airy, back in the days.
Uh-huh.
And Ernest saw it, and he said, no, I gave Kyle that pot.
So, I love it. Yeah, Tom Riccio, everybody. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
So, Joe, I'm going to go to you next. So tell me a little bit about how this music came to you. Was it as you're a boy, or when did it start for you?
First, I just want to say that's the most I've ever heard Tom talk on stage, as long as we've been playing. So,
did a good
anyway,
job, Boston.
Thank you. I love talking to people.
For me, I sort of got into it through the back door, and I was working. I had started playing guitar, and I was actually playing Neil Young stuff.
Okay.
And it made me want to make a guitar, so I went and started working at this guitar factory in just outside of Sparta, North Carolina. And the apprentices there had a money-back band. When you played in that day, if you played it on the stage in the competition, you got all your money back for going into the place.
Okay.
And so we had a money back band, so we would display the instruments we were making and stuff. And from that, I met the Greengrass Cloggers, and started dancing, and I started so let me back up.
Yeah.
So with the Money Back Band, my first instrument, I started playing the mandolin, and I learned the chords on the steps up to the stage for the first Fiddler's Convention. I'm just standing in the back chucking chords. And then I end up going on a trip out west with a friend who was getting married in British Columbia, and he brought his father's half-size violin along.
Oh, nice.
So I sat in the front seat, and I'm sure I drove him crazy, and I taught myself how to play the fiddle.
Oh, wow.
On a half-size fiddle. And when I came back, then I became like the lead fiddle in the Money Back Band. And through that, I started, we played for the Greengrass Cloggers one time, and I met them, and I met this woman that I ended up marrying that danced with them, and I ended up becoming a Greengrass Clogger. And from that, we went to like Wolf Trap and Philadelphia Folk Festival, and we ended up playing with a band called Highwood String Band, which was a really great old-time band. And hearing that energy that they had made me want to play the fiddle. So I started just playing the fiddle, and I taught myself. I don't know the notes. I don't want to know the notes. I totally play by ear.
That's amazing.
And I ended up going and spending a lot of time with Tommy Jarrell, who was the Mac Daddy of Surrey County, sort of old-time fiddle. And I would just hang out with him and play some and drink beer and watch TV. And you know.
How old were you when you were teaching yourself the fiddle and then the green grass?
I was 24 when I started.
Wow.
And I'm 77 now, so I've been playing for 10 or 20 years.
just a few years. Yeah. And you were talking about like making some instruments, but now you make fiddles now.
Yeah, I ended up, so I got more into the making thing.
Yeah.
It was like playing the guitar. I wanted to make the guitar. Playing the fiddle, I started tweaking the fiddle and messing with it. And I went and saw a guy fit a bridge to my fiddle.
Yeah.
And I watched him do it, and I'm like, well, I'll never pay for that again, you know. And I just started doing that and got interested, and I heard about a school in England, and I wrote to them. Flew over about a month later and did an interview and stuff.
Wow.
And went back home, and I ended up getting accepted. So about a month later, I'm living in England for 3 years.
Wow. And you still make fiddles today?
I make fiddles. I teach violin making, and there's two women in this audience that were my students.
Oh, wow.
Kelly Civi and Michelle Locker.
Hey,
and,
nice.
And both of them, Kelly lives here, and she would, what?
She lives in Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, I'm talking Alaska. You know,
it's
I'm
a big
North
place,
Carolina,
John. It's a big place.
Lives here. But anyway,
she
would come for the winter months
yeah.
and take my class, and then she would come back here and work.
Oh, wow.
Like the first summer she came back, she was operating an excavator in a gold mine. She did stuff like that. But she lives in Fairbanks, and she came for 4 years like that and
wow.
took my class and was my star pupil. And
that's awesome. And you're going to be teaching a workshop tomorrow.
Yeah.
And what's your workshop going to be on?
I'm just, you know, I have so many people that I know that play the violin who are afraid to even touch it, to adjust, to do anything. And I just want to talk about some simple ways to sort of maintain the instrument and that sort of thing. I've spend maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes doing that. And then I'm going to start teaching some of my fiddle tunes that I've written over the years. And
that's awesome.
Like that.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting question because I know you write some songs,
yeah.
But you said you learn by ear and you like to keep it by ear. So when you're writing songs, how do you?
Oh, I don't write it. I say writing. I'm writing right here.
You know, okay, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I got
no,
you.
I don't, you know, I just, I play them and people learn it like that.
I
and,
see. Okay. Know. So you're not writing it down.
No, no, no.
All that stuff.
No. Yeah. I know a lot of people tab or all that. I don't know anything about it.
We don't need that. Yeah.
No.
I love it. Awesome. No. Joe Thrift, everybody. I'm gonna come to the back. Now, Steve, this is Steve Mason on the bass over here. Now, I like to say, to me, what I always hear is that the bass player is the coolest dude in the band. And so I'm
one. Absolutely right.
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted to say. I figured that was right. Because I feel like bass players just have something in them that's like relaxed and controlled and kind of chill. Is that you, Steve?
No.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I love it.
I'm way more comfortable playing bass because I play bass exclusively with these guys, pretty much. Other than that, I play fiddle.
Oh, you do play fiddle. And okay.
So when I'm on stage playing lead fiddle, I'm scared to death all the time.
I'm gonna come over here real
quick. But playing bass, I'm just following Riley. So
I'm going to give you this microphone just a little bit there. There we go. Hopefully that one will sound a little better. So when did you start playing the bass? Or when did you get into music? How old were you?
I was in my mid-20s, and I got into the music because I also was with the Greengrass Cloggers.
Oh, okay.
And started traveling around with them, and we came up to Mount Airy Fiddlers Convention, and I heard Round Peak style old time music and just absolutely fell in love with it. Went home, said, I've got to have a fiddle because I know if I have one, I can play it wrong. But anyway, yeah, 30 years later, I'm still trying to learn to play the fiddle.
Are you like Joe? Mm-hmm. Do you learn the notes, or are you just playing it by ear?
Oh,
the fiddle?
Totally by ear.
Totally by ear. Yeah. Okay, I love that. And so, was the fiddle the first instrument that you picked up?
Yes.
Okay. And was your family musical? I'm just curious.
No,
not at all.
There's not a musical gene in my body. I learn everything just rote.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So when did you first figure that out? Like, when did you figure out that you wanted to play?
Well, like I said, when I heard Round Peak music, Tommy Jarrell.
Okay. So you said, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then how did you get in the Cloggers?
Well, I was good friends with Rich Hartness, who actually started the Red Hots with Joe. And I found that fiddle, but it had been in an attic for 100 years.
Whoa.
And somebody, a friend of my folks, gave it to me, and it was all in pieces. The neck was off, the back was off, the front was off. It had a hole, the F hole had been chewed out by a mouse, and there was a mouse nest in it. And Rich said, oh, I've got this good friend named Joe Thrift who lives in Winston. He just got back from violin making school. He can totally put that together for you. So I boxed it up and sent it to Joe, and I'm sure he was thrilled.
I was so thrilled.
When he got it. But it actually turned out it's a turn-of-the-century German factory-made fiddle, but it's a pretty good-sounding fiddle. So I played that for 20 years until I hocked about 6 other instruments and bought one of Joe's fiddles.
Nice. Okay.
And these guys had a bass player, and he moved. And we were really good friends. We hung out at fiddler's conventions all the time. And they called me up and said, we want you to play bass. And I said, I don't know how to play. Riley said, don't worry, I got you. He said, I'm going to show you what I want you to do, and that's it.
I love it.
So.
And how long have you been playing with the Red Hots then?
Gosh, 30-something. I really don't remember. 35. Wow. At least, I'd say.
Okay, since you're the coolest person in the band, what I want to know is, what's the biggest argument the band's ever had? Hmm. Can you? That's is there one?
Question.
You don't argue.
No. Nah, what Tom says goes. That's pretty much it.
What Tom says goes. I like it.
You've not got the caffeine.
Yeah, no, we've
Yeah.
We always get along, and nobody steps on anybody's toes. We just have a good time.
You like hanging out and playing music?
Well, yeah, they come to my house.
If I had to go there, maybe it'd be a different story. Right, I get that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. If you had to go there, you probably wouldn't see me.
Steve Mason, everybody on the bass. Come over here to Riley Bogus, who's on guitar, but I also see that he's got this banjo over here, and he might do a little number for us after we talk to him here. So, Riley, hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So, tell me a little bit about where your journey started with music. I love these stories.
Well, when I was 10 years old, they offered the strings program in my elementary school.
Yeah.
And growing up in a family that was from Allegheny and Surrey and Stokes County, North Carolina, and the Blue Ridge Mountains and the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, the only thing that I thought that you could play on the fiddle was country-type music. So I thought, wow, they're going to teach me to play the fiddle. And so I told my dad I wanted to go and do that, and he said, all right, you know, we'll get you a fiddle. And we went to a pawn shop and bought a Chinese fiddle, and I signed on to the strings program. And I soon discovered that Dvorak Slavonic dances is not what I had signed on for. But you know, I stuck with it and learned a lot about how music works. But the whole time I was interested in old-time music. I mean, old-time and bluegrass music. You know, that's what my family all listened to. And I grew up hearing bands like the Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers, and you'd hear Tommy Jarrell and Fred Cockerman and Kyle Creed, and you'd hear all the music that was local to our area, as well as lots of other recorded old-time music from the 1920s. And so I saved my money one summer when I was 10 years old and went to Sears Roebuck and ordered a guitar out of the catalog. And then I decided I wanted to play banjo, and my dad said, well, I can't afford to buy you no banjo, boy. And I says, well, okay. So he said, well, let's make one.
Oh.
So we had a bunch of scrap pine boards laying around the house there, and my dad and I built a banjo just out of flat pallet wood, you know. And that's what I learned to play on. And after he saw that I could play, we went to another pawn shop and bought another cheap old K banjo, and it just started, just kept playing, you know. So I was spending a lot of time. A good old friend of mine that I grew up with, his name was Kirk Sutphin. Kirk and I would go up to Tommy Jarrell's house in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and we'd go to the fiddlers' conventions, and we all would hang out and play music, and that's where I met all these guys, just being around at different music gatherings. So I'd spend a lot of time with Tommy and Robert Sykes and Benton Flippin and all the Dick Freeman, lots of the local musicians who lived in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and just listened and learned their stories and their songs.
Wow. Are you self-taught as well?
Yeah,
pretty much. You got out of that class and said, no, thank you.
Well, I kept doing that for 5 years as long as they offered it in school.
Yeah.
And up till high school. But the whole time I was still playing old-time music.
I was
taking the violin at school, but that's not where my heart was. It's
right,
not really
gotcha.
Where my head was either. But, you know, if you had to take classes, it wasn't a bad one to have to take.
It's kind of like the jam program here in Juneau. He would be a successful graduate of the jam program, which is Juneau Alaska Music Matters, which is a program for kids that gets them into music and teaches them all kinds of stuff, and that's kind of cool. And then you mentioned the banjo, and you, like Joe, you make banjos.
I do make banjos, yes, sir.
When did you start doing that?
I built my first one in 1995 because I wanted a good banjo, and I was pretty low on the old income at that point and couldn't afford to buy one.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who worked at a facility in town that ground up all the old scrap wood and the old pallets and limbs off the trees and whatnot, he found a machinery skid or a machinery pallet that had two walnut 4x4s 10 feet long and a cherry 4x4 10 feet long, and he saved them for me, and we put them up in the barn loft for about 6 months. And I said, well, what have I got to lose? So I cut away everything that didn't look like a banjo and ended up with a banjo.
Wow, that's
and
really
so
cool.
So I built my first one that way, and my my wife at the time, it was my first wife. I currently have a second wife, which is pretty good for a banjo player. to get one in the beginning is a good thing.
Right.
But my first wife, I told her, I said, well, people keep asking me to build them banjos. And she said, well, nobody's going to want to build your banjo, or going to want to buy your banjos. Did I mention she was my ex-wife?
My first wife, yeah.
Ex-wife,
yeah.
Right.
Ex-wife.
But anyway, no, I started building banjos and selling them, and through all that have met lots of great friends in the old-time music community and get to do some pretty cool projects.
That's awesome.
Including working with these guys.
Yeah, with these guys. Yeah, that's great. Now, I heard somebody said that you sing, and I'm wondering, would you might pick up the banjo and sing us a song?
Sure.
That would be really awesome. This is Juno Afternoon on KTO. We're here with the Red Hots. Riley Bogus is going to sing us a song on the banjo. That would be great. Thank you so much, Riley. Appreciate you all being here.
I had a song in mind, and then I changed my mind.
All right. Change your mind. It's all good.
Did I mention I play the banjo for a living?
Riley Bogus, everybody.
Growing up in North Carolina, you get to hear a lot of old-time music, and up in Ashe County, North Carolina, another of the Blue Ridge counties, there was a great contemporary songwriter whose name was Ola Bell Reed. And turns out that I have a third cousin who is Ola Bell Reed's niece, and I got to wondering whether I might be related to Ola Bell Reed, and I got to thinking, well, I don't know if I am or not. And then said, well, maybe I am, but I don't know if I'm related by blood or by marriage or both. That kind of thing happens in them mountains, you know. So I thought I'd do one of her songs. Tune because I think you care. If you don't care, say so right now, and I'll save a whole lot of time. All right. So this is a song. It's that age-old story of boy meets girl, falls in love with the girl falls in love with the boy moves away to earn his fortune and decides he's going to come back and marry the girl after he earns his fortune, only to discover that when he returns, she has died. It is a sad little song. And I hope y'all enjoy it. It's called Undone in Sorrow. Thank you. Beside my earthly gains, and I'll not end as a man of riches, undone in sorrow. I'll remain undone in sorrow. I'll remain.
Riley Bogus, everybody. All right. I'm gonna ask the boys to play us out. We're almost out of time for today's show. I want to say thank you for joining us today on Juno Afternoon. I want to thank our guest queens, Connor McGuire and the Red Hots, who you can catch tonight and tomorrow night at the dances over at the Jack starting at 9 o'clock. Thanks to our sponsors, Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTO Arts and Culture Team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, and I can't thank you all enough for joining us in the audience and listening on the air today. It wouldn't have been possible without our awesome production team, Craig George, who's up in the studio upstairs, Miko Wilson, Megan Reardon on the soundboard in the back. Also help today from Aaron Tripp, Lisa Purvis, and Cheryl Snyder. Have a great folk fest, everybody. If the band will play us out today, that'd be awesome. Thank you so much, boys.
Thanks, Boston. Thanks, you guys.